This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, throughout the morning, we'll be looking at findings out of the AG's report, because the AG report found that only 4 out of 47 companies owned by the Ministry of Finance, Inc. were financially sound. Now, of the remaining 43, 33 were deemed stable and 10 were unstable. So the 4 financially sound companies are Petronas, Procas Sendirian Berhad, My Creative Ventures and a Syarikat Jaminan Credit Perumahan.
According to the report, the financial liability of MOF Inc. companies rose in 2018 compared to 2016, and contingent liabilities were high at over 13 billion ringgit. Financial analysis also reportedly found out that the ratio of returns on equity for 47 companies recorded a return of less than 1. The report also found out the use of 41% of government funds to repay loans to the government, including the change of loans to equity, which showed the weak financial position of the companies and their continued dependence on the government for assistance.
Now, this ROE, or return of equities, of less than 1 is actually really quite tragic, because if you were a business, you would actually be forced to shut down, i.e. you're just basically not even making money. And it's important to note this change of loans to equity, because when you turn into equity, basically you basically think that I got no chance of getting my money back, so I'm going to get shares instead. You're delaying the whole process of actually the project becoming financially solvent. Or that's the point you're making. So not a good sign. And the use of sukuk and bonds by the Ministry of Finance in companies was also less than satisfactory, because 30% being utilised to sustain the redemption of matured sukuk to repay loans, as well as sukuk profit and loans at 23 billion ringgit.
So for me, one of the startling numbers coming out of this report is also that the AG's report found that Felda spent about 87% of its 870 million ringgit allocation, which comes up to about 750 odd million, on less than 1,500 houses since 2013. And this is under the Felda New Generation Housing Project. Now, of these 1,500 houses, only about 800 were delivered. So that's only just over half of the planned housing projects. The rest are still actually vacant. So the project was supposed to be to build over 20,000 houses between 2013 to 2017. And this comes back to something that you said earlier this morning, Roshan, right? Because it's, you know, we see all of these allocations go out, but after a while, you just kind of, is it just me or do you just kind of get desensitized when you see...
Yeah, you definitely get desensitized. Yeah,
where's the accountability, right?
Yeah, I just want to bring this back home as usual, because I like my numbers, right? So let's say you spent, I think... 870 million on 1,500 homes. Okay. You know, when I do the maths, right, that roughly makes each home something like 570,000 ringgit.
Wow.
Okay? I don't even know where these homes are, whether the land was given free. But if it costs you 570,000 to build a Felda home, and I presume it's just like, I'm going to take some assumptions here. It's going to be a terrace home, so you're talking about 25 by 75 in terms of size. It's a lot of money to build what I assume would be just a standardized home.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that this project didn't even meet its KPIs. So the report also found that the financial allocation for this program under Felda, this Felda New Generation Housing Program, some of it wasn't even made available between 2015 and 2016. So also the construction company that was appointed via a direct negotiation without the approval of the Ministry of Finance as a pilot project contractor. So you wonder, you know, how did that come about? Was this really typical of business transactions in that day and age? Because, you know,
there doesn't seem to be any check and balance, right? Because we do know that direct negotiation is not the way to go for any project. Now, sadly, this is not the only report that has come out from the AG. Another one is the Tourism, Arts and Culture Ministry. They were found to owe over 107 million ringgit for advertising and digital promotion campaigns between 2016 and 2018. Now, the audit department determined that the outstanding debt was due to unplanned campaigns and procurements without allocation. So the Tourism Ministry Malaysia also saw its expenditure increase in 2016 and 2017, exceeding its allocation of 56.6 million ringgit.
So to this, I ask, what's the process? I mean, you spent money without allocation. Means you went out of the process, or was it just cowboy town? You spend and then hope that you have money to pay for the bills later.
Or well, you sign off on it and then say, no, the money will come later, and then it just never did.
Yeah, but they never had the allocation. It was, and these were unplanned campaigns. And this is the Tourism Ministry, right? And we're going into Visit Malaysia 2020. Let's hope they have money to properly promote this big year that's supposed to be a big year for tourism here.
And the worst thing is that we never even got the tourist arrivals that we were supposed to have. So, okay, fine, you spend the money you weren't supposed to spend. But to what end? Because tourist arrivals between 2016 and last year actually dropped 2.2% and 18.4% from the targeted arrivals. So come 2020, like you say, Visit Malaysia year, A, let's hit our targets, and B, let's spend within the budget and no unplanned spending, please. Yeah,
so with regard to the tourism ministry and their performance, you can't even use the ends justifies the means argument here, because they didn't even manage to deliver on the ends. Now, and so KTM Berhad was also a focus of the AG's report because they made an accumulated loss of over 2.8 billion ringgit as of the end of last year. Now, intercity and commuter trains recorded losses of between 39.8 million and 77.7 million between 2016 and 2019. And we've had a bit of a transportation theme going on this morning because we were talking about the MRT feeder buses. And I think KTM was also on the front pages of
the New Straits Times.
Now, these losses were apparently driven by the fact that KTMB was, and I quote, not given the freedom to make its own decisions on the company's operations and usage of assets.
Who made the decisions then? Big question mark. Right?
Yeah. And it's also bound by the government's policy in determining rate fares, right? So you can't run the company, you can't price the ticket. You have to follow what the government wants. You're a supposedly private company running like a government department. And the thing is, you are held by corporate values. So it sounds like they've been handcuffed in the situation to the situation at hand, that they have to deal with the cards that they have.
But they're not entirely blameless, because if you look at some of the issues, right, there is inefficient maintenance of the commuter train set. There were nearly 37,000 complaints from December 2016 to July 2019 on the new ticket system. This was highlighted in the newspapers. The Auditor General, they concluded that the objectives of the establishment of KTM through the corporatization of it has yet to be realized. But on the other hand, they do say that KTM's corporate governance was satisfactory. Now, the question is, what's the new KTM going to be like? Because we know they are trying to make themselves an attractive alternative solution to how you should travel across Malaysia. I mean, one of the initiatives they've introduced is business class, right? Mm-hmm. In some of the segments, which you think is a bit long overdue. But they're not the only one. I mean, another part of government service, which is where the AG has highlighted, is this Pusat Rawatan Islam Hospital operated by the Federal Territories Islamic Religious Council. Now, this part is scary. They have been plagued by mole problems. Okay, guys, so this is a hospital with mole.
That's not optimistic.
Yeah, I can see the looks on your face.
Absolute horror, yeah. Really.
I mean, you go there to get well, and then you might end up getting more sick because of the mole, right?
Yeah.
So this problem started in 2010, 5 years after the hospital's construction, which was completed in 2005. And this fungal problem was stated in the second series of the AG's report in 2018 on the management of federal government companies.
Yeah, all of this isn't very optimistic. But then the AG's report, you know, historically, it's never really been very optimistic. The question is, what's going to happen now that all of these issues have been brought to light? And so we do have a poll running on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, with Pakatan Harapan in power now, are you going to be more optimistic about the AG report findings in the years to come? Quick, let's have a quick poll of the studio. You know, where do you guys fall on this question?
I would like more accountability. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. That's not one of the options in the poll, but I would like more accountability. So year after year, we have these AG reports. I mean, sometimes it shocks us. Sometimes we're like, huh, okay, again. But has anyone ever been brought to task over this? That's the main thing. Is there going to be better oversight? Is there going to be better accountability? Because we know we're running a budget deficit. 3.2% is the target for 2020. We really need to be careful in terms of how we spend our money.
Yeah, so everything Xiaoning said, but whatever said and done, I'm always optimistic that the AG report does disclose these details because it shows, at least to some degree, that they are willing to state these problems. Someone needs to be telling us what's going on and giving us a picture of how the government operates. Now, how do we take the next step and ask for accountability and get these problems fixed?
Well, do let us know what you think on the poll. And also up next, we're going to be speaking with Professor James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, Singapore, on whether the rift between Saudi Arabia and Qatar is healing. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 news bulletin, which is coming up right now. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.